We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We have on the line now, Al. This is as good a get as you can get. Nobody knows the NBA better than ESPN's Dave McMenamin, and he is also, Al, the guy who has written the most and the best about LeBron James, including the bestseller Return of the King, LeBron James, the Cleveland Cavaliers, and the greatest comeback in NBA history. It is an honor to have on our show Dave McMenamin. Hi, Dave.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? What an intro, Angelo. It's an honor for me to be on with you guys. I grew up in the Philly suburbs. I've been listening to you my whole life.
Wow. Now I am. I just realized I'm very old because you're still in your 30s then. But I got to tell you, this bond that you have created, at least to the point where you can chronicle the career of LeBron, could you tell us how it developed and what he's really like?
Sure. I moved to Cleveland in 2014 to cover his second stint with the Cavs. And at that point, I'd only known him, at All-Star press scrums and things like that. And obviously to do the job well, I had to develop a rapport. And so I just went to every single practice, every single shoot around, every single game, showed up and let it be known that I wasn't there to, do any gotcha quotes or do any kind of fly by night coverage. I wanted to really understand what it's like to be him and try to get into, what motivates him and what he does to prepare himself and why he still tries as hard as he can at the stage of his career when he has all the financial security he could ever want, when he has all the accolades, any player could reasonably hope to achieve in a career. And I think he's a guy who works hard and I try to work hard. And I think that was kind of the level of initial respect that we found. I'm a basketball freak. Like, I love it so much, and he's kind of like that too. And so, just from there, once we had the baseline of respect, then you got to cover him. And then there's days where it's really good, and there's days where you got to ask a question that he doesn't want to answer, and then he's maybe not going to give you a time of day for a week after that. It's like any relationship, but it's been fruitful because it's just, he does things that are remarkable. He's one of the best basketball players of all time, so it's been a fun journey.
Dave, I know it's really a broad question, but you kind of raised it, and I'm very curious. What is it like to be LeBron James?
It is, in some way, a maniacal insecurity is probably not the right word, but because of his upbringing where he didn't have a lot, and he was moving from house to house, apartment to apartment, his mother trying to make ends meet, and the third grade, he missed the 80 some days of school, that is such a part of his wiring that he's never going to rest on his laurels. He's never going to take for granted the situation he's in. And then there's just the idea of he set a goal for himself to be the best basketball player of all time. And, think about that. Michael Jordan already existed. Wilt Chamberlain already existed. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, et cetera, et cetera. But to have the audacity that I can actually achieve this. And I'm going to keep trying to do it. He's turned 37 in December, going to be year 19 in the NBA. And, hey, have we seen him slow down yet? Not so much. He's reinvented himself in order to be as effective as possible.
Well, here's the thing. You know, this is home of load management and tanking, Dave. And LeBron does not manage his load, right? He plays whenever he is physically capable of playing, right? So that is that part of what you just described? He would never, if a coach went to him and say, I just want to rest you tonight, he would not tolerate that. Is that what you're saying with this attitude he has about playing hard every night?
Yeah, certainly. I think there has been a shift in that because when I first covered him in Cleveland back in 2014, 2015, there were some nights where he would take off. They called it the rest and recovery protocol in Cleveland because they didn't like the term load management, all the backlash that received. But at some point, I would say probably around the championship season in 2016, he shifted to that wasn't going to be the way he went about his business. I think perhaps maybe that made him recognize how special this experience is, not only for him, but for the fans that connect to him. And so now you see, it's not only that he doesn't want to miss games, like he wants to play 40 minutes a game. Frank Vogel has to struggle with getting him to accept the 33-minute a game plan in order to try to save whatever they can for the postseason run.
I got to tell you, I can't tell you how much I respect that, Dave. Dave, at this moment in time, he's going to be 37. Joel Embiid is 27. Who's a better NBA player?
Wow. I think Embiid consistently on both ends of the court is more impactful, but LeBron is at a master level in terms of what he can do in recognizing a defense, picking it apart, putting a defense in compromising positions that would set his teammates up. That level of recognition and understanding is something that, as great as Embiid is, isn't close to kind of scratching the surface of. Joel Embiid at times is the most dominant player in the NBA. When his body in this series against Atlanta right now, he's averaging 40 and 10 on a bum wheel. Those days of LeBron just being a sheer physical dominant force are pretty much over.
Let's talk about this series a little bit, Dave, because we got a big game three tonight in Atlanta, 1-1 right now. Do you see the Hawks as a real threat to upset the Sixers in this round?
I do. Philadelphia can win this series. But Atlanta had the best record or tied for the best record in the Eastern Conference with Brooklyn since March 1st. I think there's something like 32-13 since then. They're incredibly impressive. They're a really well-constructed team. They have a legit superstar in Trae Young who can really do whatever he wants to on the court in the modern NBA. You can't hand-check him. And so he has freedom of movement. Once he gets downhill, he can hit a floater in your eye. He can throw the lob to Clint Capella. He can spray out to Bogdanović or Danilo Gallinari or Kevin Porter or the great shooters around him. Or if you play off him to try to stop him from penetrating, he can shoot from 40 feet. So he's the straw that stirs the drink, and they just have a really well-conceived, well-constructed team around him. I didn't mention John Collins, another bright young big man. They're tough. I think Philadelphia has a formula, though. Just defend their butts off, be physical, and then get in transition because Ben Simmons is, maybe next to LeBron, one of the best decision makers in the open court that we have in the NBA.
All right, you may have violated something there, Dave, because you said something really nice about Simmons. Dave, in this city, Simmons is a very polarizing figure. There are people that love him for reasons like what you just said, and people that don't because he doesn't shoot, can't hit free throws, stuff like that. Give me an appraisal of what you've seen of Ben Simmons.
I mean, like, to me, if we're going to just talk about the fact that he doesn't shoot threes and doesn't, his free throw shooting struggles, it'd be like saying, Al Morganti is not good on the show because he's only expert in the NHL. Well, he's really good in the NHL, and he's a really entertaining guy to have on the show. Like, let's focus on the good. Let's focus on his defensive prowess. Let's focus on the fact that, as I mentioned, in the open court, he's a locomotive, and he also has the court vision to find whatever he wants. Let's focus on the fact that at 6'11", 240 pounds, he can guard centers all the way down to point guards. He's a truly special player. And listen, this year the Sixers have the player finished second in MVP voting, and Embiid, they have the player who finished second in Defensive Player of the Year, and Simmons are the last team to do that. They won the championship. The Lakers had LeBron finish second in MVP, and Anthony Davis finished second in Defensive Player of the Year last year, and they won the championship.
You might have just ripped Simmons worse than anybody ever heard.
Yeah, we did. Dave, nothing you said about Al, we agree with, that whole sequence. But, Dave, here's the thing. What's amazing about what you just said is that all may well be true, but most of the city doesn't like Simmons, right? They think his attitude is more West Coast. You're out there. Do you see a long future for him in Philadelphia?
I think that the patience that they've shown with the Simmons and Embiid pairing is paying off. These guys are like 25 years old. They're navigating a ridiculous existence. To be an NBA superstar, it comes with a lot of privilege, but it comes with a lot of headaches you never would have imagined could pop up. And they're figuring it out, and what the players need to do ultimately to reach their full potential is block everything out and realize like they desperately want to win. And I think you're seeing that from that pairing. And I think if they fully figure it out, they're pillars that you could win multiple championships with. You could have a dynastic type of run with. And so I think there should be patience with them, because they've proven that they have a special brand of basketball together. It's unique, but not every champion has to look like another champion. Ben Simmons is like, let's say that they have to play Brooklyn next round. If they get through Atlanta and Brooklyn gets through Milwaukee, you have someone who can throw on Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's been cooking Giannis Antetokounmpo, but Giannis Antetokounmpo is the Defensive Player of the Year guy. But Ben Simmons is probably better suited to guard him.
Well, that was my next question. Dave, can anybody beat the Nets?
I don't think so. But Philadelphia... They'll have to do it the same way they will get through Atlanta if they do it. Just they're going to have to defend, and then hope that Joel's knee can stand up and Joel can do some cooking of his own on Nick Claxton and DeAndre Jordan and contain a guy like Kevin Durant. And if James Harden's hamstring's not right yet, there'll be a window of opportunity. The Sixers are a well-constructed team, too. They have smart veterans like Danny Green, Dwight Howard, guys I covered in L.A., guys who know what they had to do to help a team win. Steph Curry can shoot the lights out. If you put shooters around Ben Simmons, he doesn't necessarily have to be a shooter also. Let's remember that. Not every player has to do every single thing.
Dave, who do you like? Who do you like tonight in Atlanta? Sixers at Atlanta. Who do you like?
Yeah, I think Sixers better win. Of course, if they go down 2-1, like, of course, you can still win the series. But right. You want to get back that home court advantage you lost in game one. And, the formula they've had since the first half of game one has looked pretty good in this series. But those shooters on Atlanta, they're woken up, and they're playing at home. So it's going to be a tough one. But I think Philly can win tonight.
Dave McMenamin is one of the greats at ESPN. We love you, Dave. Thank you so much. We're proud of another Philly guy making good. Thanks, Dave.
I love you guys. Thank you.
Dave McMenamin. Now,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.